Well, it's the Julia and Patrick show today on this fine, warm Tuesday evening. And I hope you guys are ready for some pop culture Jeopardy with Rocco.
Shall we play a game?
No. That's
your line, right?
That's my line, Rocco. And you know, we've got Patrick Richardson with us today, filling in for Lori, our laundry evangelist, hanging out. I just got a nice compliment from a friend of mine that said, you're just this nice, easy to listen to, good, cool, good information co-host. So, wow, there you go.
Thanks.
That's what I say.
Thank you.
All right, Rocco, what are you going to torture us?
I think, today is National Thesaurus Day.
Yes. Oh, and you know what a lover of words I am.
Yes. You have a way with words.
I do.
You never quite use the same word twice.
Never
so this
use
might
the
be good for you.
Same pronunciation twice either. So we'll see how we go.
And Patrick wrote a book, so he probably does know some synonyms.
Oh, dear.
We'll see.
So what I did, this is going to be kind of fun, I think. I took a handful of Best Picture winners, at the Oscars, and I sort of changed the title using synonyms from thesaurus.com.
And if you were to tell everyone what a synonym was, in case you forgot.
A synonym, is a similar word that you could substitute for another word, right?
I got it.
I don't know. I probably butchered that. So, yeah. So let's start with this one. We'll start with the last Best Picture winner. If I were to say to you, Wanderer region.
Don't say it. Don't say it, because I should know this.
Yeah.
Oh, I know this. The Nomad's Land.
There you go. See?
Okay, the Wanderer region. Nomad. Only because I knew what one.
Right.
Patrick's staring at me and we're both looking at each other like, help. I'm still finding the definition for cinnamon to make sure we're doing the wrong thing. It's not a spice.
No, synonym. I think it's Latin for, another name or
another
something
name.
Like that.
Yes.
I don't know.
Got it. All right.
Latin. I don't. Well, how about this one? This might be another easy one. That first one I thought was kind of tough, but knowing what the last Best Picture was probably helped you.
It did.
So I'm going to give you the year, so that might also help
you.
Okay. Like this one, 2019, The Configuration of H2O.
Shape of Water.
Oh. There you go. 1-1.
Yes. Got it. 1-1.
Okay, how about this? We'll go back to 2010.
So these are Best Picture winners.
Yes, they're all winners.
All right, got it.
A big prize at the Academy Awards.
Okay.
Like, this movie came out in 2010. I think the date I'm giving you is the year of the movie, not of the awards.
Got it.
Just in case that helps.
That's really going to mess me up, but okay.
2010, The Monarch's Oration.
The Butterfly Effect. No.
King's Speech.
Yes.
Oh, I hate you. I hate you already.
But you gave me a second because you said something else.
So I did.
It gave me a second to think.
The Butterfly Effect, which was a horrible movie with Ashton Kutcher, and I can't even believe, and I know it didn't win anything, but that's Monarch. I was just thinking Butterfly. Right.
I can see that. And this, you got to have your finger on the buzzer and be quick to act. So,
I know. All right. I'm turning on all my messaging if anyone feels the need to text me.
Should I turn off the 7-second delay
just get it in here. Exactly. Just for this segment. Okay.
All right. This movie is from 2001. A Gorgeous Brain.
A Beautiful Mind.
See, there you go. Now it is what? 2-2.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We're going to go back to 1969 for this one.
Oh, good year.
12 a.m. Herdsman.
Midnight Cowboy.
There you go.
Nice.
3-2, Julia.
Wow, that was a lucky guess. And I was trying to think of Midnight Express, which that movie, remember when that came out? About the guy traveling with the hashish from Turkey?
Oh, right, and ends up in a Turkish prison.
Oh my gosh, that movie terrorized people.
Yeah, it made me never want to travel with
hash taped to my leg ever.
Right, from Turkey.
From Turkey. Never going to do that. Okay, right. It's 3-2.
All right, here comes the 1972 Best Picture. The man who presents a child at baptism and promises to take responsibility for their religious education.
The Godfather.
There you go.
Oh. Gosh, that was
so good. I was thinking of the Pope something.
Yeah, I know, it's funny because I was like,
the man who takes responsibility. Mm-hmm. Oh.
And The Godfather's such a good movie.
It's such a good movie.
And they're redoing it all this year for the 50th anniversary. It's going to be in like 4K and all that stuff.
Did Al Pacino never win a Best Oscar? I don't think he ever won.
He did for like 10 times. I don't think he.
Marlon Brando, I think, won, but Al Pacino never won, I don't think.
Not for that.
No, for The Godfather's. No,
I don't think
Michael
so.
And
that's why a lot of people were like, oh, he finally won for like Scent of a Woman.
Exactly.
Everybody was like,
I think that was one of your questions like last week, Rocco.
Probably.
All right.
All right. How about 1991, The Stillness of the Sheep?
Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, for crying out loud.
All right. This one might be tricky. 1983, Words of Affection.
Love Story.
No. I'll let Patrick see if he has a guess. Otherwise, I can start giving hints. Words of Affection, 1983.
Love Language.
It starred Shirley MacLaine.
Oh, it's Terms of Endearment.
Terms of Endearment.
Sorry, you just named her.
No.
Okay.
What a movie. Ever need to cry? Put it in. Put it in.
We're going to go back to the 30s here. How about this one? Departed with the Breeze.
Gone with the Wind.
Yeah, you get it.
No, I think we can call that. I think we
all right,
share
we tied.
That one.
Okay.
Departed. Rocco, you put some thought into these. I'm very impressed.
Thesaurus.com. It's a good site.
Yeah.
And as you know, because you listen to the Don and Steve show, I often go to that site and, you know, click on the pronunciation and you get stuff like
clammy.
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 I just happen to love that voice.
I actually do love that voice. <I know. laughs>
But not all the songs have that voice. Like, for instance, here's, oops, I hit that pop-up ad. I'm dumb.
Drizzle.
Maybe that's the same
That's
voice.
Kind of a good voice. That sounds like the same one.
Close or close.
So anyways, thesaurus.com, hours of entertainment.
You know
convenient.
It.
Convenient.
Convenient. Okay, so we're going to go back to 1990, the year I graduated from high school.
Okay.
This was a big movie and a favorite of yours. How about Boogies with
Boogie Nights.
Boogies with Lotharios.
Surfing.
It's kind of a tricky one.
Dances with Wolves?
There you go.
Oh.
Dances.
How did you even get that?
I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have even answered because it's
Kevin Kessler. But how did you Boogies,
that's dances.
Right.
And then Lothario is kind of a wolf, you know.
That was a tough one.
You needed to have an advanced education for that one. I only made it for 4 years of college.
Well, and you'd spend a lot of that time boogieing, I imagine.
Oh my gosh. That was a good guess, Patrick. I think you get a star for that one. that one was a good one.
All right, I got a handful more here. What are we doing on the score here? It's about even, right?
6-5. Patrick's winning.
2013, A Dozen Trips Around the Sun as an Indentured Servant.
12 Years
Slave. Slaves. Damn. I just said slaves.
That was hard.
Here's me, slaves. I got the
slaves.
You get it.
All right.
That was a hard one.
Sometimes these are a bit of a stretch. And as we're getting towards the end, they might be stretchier than others.
All right,
we'll see.
Be stretchy.
This is from 2014, and I might need to spell this. Foul Guy, F-O-W-L.
Birdman,
yes. Now, how about two best movies ago? This came before Nomadland. This one maybe could be titled Bloodsucker. It was from
Leech.
Korea.
Cholera? What was that? The something of cholera? I know the book. From Korea. What?
Or it could be Freeloader. Hanger on.
Grifter?
Leech. It was about a family who took over the housekeeping duties of another family.
What is it, Patrick?
And then there was an axe murder.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Wait, who's the actor in it?
It was all Koreans.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, yeah. Not Parasite.
There it is.
Oh, what was
Bloodsucker?
Bloodsucker.
What else did I say? Freeloader, Hanger-On, Leech. I don't know. Again, these are
getting
stretchier.
That was a good movie. And all those people, we were at the award show when they won because they won a SAG Award first, and that kind of started their momentum. And they all came back and they were so excited. Sure. That was so fun.
Now, did either of you watch Squid Game?
Loved.
Yeah, it was pretty fun.
Loved. And you know, that guy, the old guy in the Marvel episode, he won
A
Golden Globe.
Yeah, for best actor,
the oldest,
best supporting. Yeah.
First Korean to win a best supporting actor ad. He's nominated for a SAG. I wonder if he's going to get some momentum.
Could be.
Can't tell you his name. But that was, you know, after you get over the initial shock, It's about humanity, and it's what you would do when you have absolutely nothing left to lose, right. Basically.
Well said.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here's a movie
from... We're tied.
Uh-oh, we got 1, 2, 3, 4. I got about 6 left here. We'll
okay.
see. This one's from 2018. It won Best Picture. How about Lime Novel?
Green Mile.
No.
Green Book.
Yes. Green Book.
That was a great movie.
Yeah, it was.
That was a great...
I didn't see that.
Oh, now, Rocco, that's a great movie.
Okay.
The Green Book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Green Book.
Oh, yeah, that's a good movie.
Okay, how about this one from 2009? This one might be on my stretchy list. The Suffering Trunk.
The Pain Barge. The Pain Suitcase. Yep. The Pain... Okay, it's a movie. It's a best-selling. We should
Hurt Locker.
Oh! Hey, there.
Oh, bravo! Woo! That was another good movie.
Oh, yeah.
The only one I haven't liked that we've mentioned so far is The Shape of Water.
I never got around to seeing
Ridiculous.
That.
Ridiculous. That one should have been there. If we were going to do Chariots of Fire, that's the other one that I disagree with big time.
I should have done that one. That one won Best Picture, didn't it?
Yes.
Mm. Okay, how about this one?
Okay.
Skid Row.
What year?
This is 2008. Skid Row Hound Rich Guy.
Down Out.
Slumdog Millionaire.
I was going to say Filthy Rich People. Slumdog Millionaire is way better. Another great movie.
Yeah, and I still remember
I know.
Yelling at
I
the
know.
Sags.
I know.
Slumdog.
So when we would come back, Rocco would take all of our audio. We remembered to turn it on the red carpet all the years except for one of the last ones when Lori was in charge. So we have nothing from that year, but we would just yell at people, Slumdog, a billion people from India. You know, we would just sit and yell and yell and yell and yell. And that was a great movie.
It was. It was a big deal back then.
That was a big deal.
All right. Three more before we go to break.
Okay.
1996, The British Convalescent.
The English Patient.
Mm-hmm.
Great movie.
See, I didn't.
You didn't see it?
I saw it. I didn't.
It was long. It was a love story.
You had to like
Ralph Fiennes.
Well, I do, but it just, I don't know. There's something about it.
It was long.
Yeah, and you know, when they cut Wandering. His thumb, it upset me.
Which one?
His thumb.
Oh.
That, it upset me, and I'm just, that was it. I checked out at that okay. moment.
I just looked at their love making.
Yeah.
That was what got me going.
Yeah, I checked out at that
Two more, one from the 50s, one from the 60s. 1953, From Hither to Forever.
From Here to Eternity.
From Here to a Fraternity.
From Alpha Pi Mega to Pi Mega Sega.
Right. Yes.
Beta, beta, beta.
And lastly, 1964, this is a musical, This Chalky Woman of Mine.
Oh, it's a musical.
Yeah.
Funny Lady.
So you're getting there.
Funny Girl. Oh, Hello Dolly?
No, This Chalky.
I know, this white. So this chalky, this white woman of mine. What is it? The white? What is it? A musical?
Or you could say This Mediocre Woman of Mine.
Oh, Okay, Millie? Or
no.
Okay, Dilly? Or
this...
What is it? Come on, I know the Sound of Music. My Fair Lady.
There it is.
Oh, oh my gosh. If I don't get
Did
that.
Did Julia win?
Yeah. No, we tied!
Oh.
We tied! I love it. I love it. Those were good, Rocco.
Yeah, those were fun.
We went way over.
I know.
Okay. I know, but those were fun. Thank you so much.
That was fun. All right, we'll see you next week.
Perhaps. All right,
at the
thank
end of the
you.
Week, we're going to do maybe some Hootie Fest jukebox.
Oh, gosh, it's coming.
Okay.
It's coming. We'll be right back with the Dirt Alert.
This is a My Talk Dirt Alert.
Holly, we cut into your time a little bit.
That's all right. You figured it out. Academy Award winning movies.
I know we did. That was kind of a fun one.
Well, Julie and Patrick, we've got to talk about Britney Spears this afternoon.
Oh, what's new?
Well, she's responding again to Jamie Lynn Spears' press tour for her upcoming memoir. And Britney Spears is doing it in the most Britney way possible. She's over on Instagram.
Dancing?
Well, no, actually, she's writing, and she has no sympathy for Jamie Lynn Spears' tears while she's going and publicizing this book. Britney Spears writes, "I didn't get to cry. I had to be strong. too strong. Now, this post is in response to Jamie Lynn's interview on the podcast Call Her Daddy earlier today, in which Jamie Lynn said that she felt at times her feelings didn't matter because of who her sister is. She said, it doesn't matter who your sister is or who your family member is or whatever your relationship is with. If something has caused you pain, this is your experience, and nothing should diminish your experience. Well, Britney Spears did not care at all. And she,
right. She doesn't have time for this.
No, she doesn't have time for this, but she did, you know, one cannot interpret Britney Spears' writing necessarily orally. But I will say, at the end, you know, she was talking about the fact, oh, I'm paraphrasing here, okay. Jamie Lynn, you know, oh, how did a 12-year-old get a show on Nickelodeon? Well, basically, because you're my sister. And Britney Spears goes on to reflect on her past. She said, I ask myself every day, does anybody care? Do I matter? Britney Spears, she said. I would honestly be very interested to see your pretty face in the setting I was forced to be in, asking yourself, do I matter? She's speaking to her sister, Jamie Lynn.
Timing. Boy.
Yeah.
Jamie Lynn, I feel like she, this is just so, so unwise from a publicity standpoint. Someone, her agent, someone should have said, this isn't the right time. This is not the right time. Let's shelve this for another. This is just so dumb.
Well,
all of it's dumb. And I love it that she's on Call Her Daddy. My kids listen to that.
Yeah. So
good old Barstool Sports.
Yeah, good old Barstool mm-hmm. Sports. Exactly. So, you know, interestingly enough, this message has since been taken down in the past 10 minutes. Over on Britney Spears' Instagram account. So she took it back. But she did tell, because she was talking about her mother too, Lynn Spears, she did tell Lynn and Jamie Lynn to bleep off in that post at the very end.
You know, it's becoming a little uncomfortable.
Yes.
The out loud family saga. Boy, they're a screwed up family.
Yeah, you
they
know.
They sure are.
They sure yeah, are. Well, that's the understatement. I'm just looking at Patrick's face right now, and I'm like, they just, it's uncomfortable. And you know how you have your secondhand embarrassment, Holly?
Yeah.
I feel that for them.
Well, you know, Julia, yes, you know, and I feel that too, because there are legitimate family dynamics that feel like they need to be deconstructed with the help of a professional.
Oh, five of them.
Yeah. Like
in a month.
Thank you.
In a room. Yeah.
And that, you know, this is all being put out on display. Now, to your point, Julia, if only you were Jamie Lynn Spears' publicist, because we've known about this book since the summer before Britney Spears was released from her conservatorship.
It's just the timing is so wrong.
Well, exactly. And, you know, Jamie Lynn Spears talking about this book that she's written about her life, you know, saying that she wants to set the record straight. And this isn't about selling books. But, you know, the argument would be made, well, of course, it's about selling books. This is your job.
This is her job. Right.
This is what you're doing. So
she wants to tell her side of the story. But again, no one cares.
Okay, there you go. Perfectly succinctly said. Hey, Machine Gun Kelly insists that he just casually filmed his proposal to Megan Fox by propping his cell phone against a cup.
And it had a holder, and it had a person holding it, and there was a sound person there, too, to make sure we got it all.
Yeah,
love it.
And there are three different camera angles, right. Camera one,
okay,
camera
if
two.
I know people whose kids are, you know, my kids' age that I know who hire a photographer for this. There's no way he didn't plan this out. They're just average Joes. This is a guy with money. You know he got this big, elaborate production.
Well, yeah, because the camera angles say it all. Julia, you're exactly right, where it's like, hey, us average folk can hire a photographer and plan these kind of engagement things. This is not anything out of the ordinary. But the fact that Machine Gun Kelly would be like, no, man, I just put this in front of it on a cup. It was totally impromptu.
Right.
Yeah, in his sparkly Foot Locker outfit.
Do you like Machine Gun Kelly, Patrick?
I'll just, the fifth?
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. I'm just watching his facial expressions, and I'm trying to see where we're going.
Where okay. are we going? Where are we going? Well, let's go to the world of U2, where Bono says that most of early U2 songs make him cringe. And that he hates the name of the band.
Okay, so this must be some place where these older gentlemen, these older rockers are going through this thing like, I need to really tell people how I feel. Because just yesterday, John Mellencamp said this about Jack and Diane. how he hated that song for years and never wanted to play it until he watched a football stadium, 80,000 people sing it at halftime. Is that all?
No, it only took that. Well, Bono says of his early stuff, it's not necessarily that he doesn't like the songs, but he hates the way that he sounds. He thinks that he didn't become a good singer until fairly recently.
Well, good thing we didn't notice. You made a ton of money off us during those dark, bad years.
No. Yeah, I just really hated the Joshua Tree, you know? He sounded like crap.
Brilliant. Yeah. It was the instruments were very important. I'll give him that.
Well, and he said of the band U2, he's like, well, you know, if I'd actually thought about the name of the band, it probably would have been something different. But he said his manager at the time, Paul McGinnis, was like, no, it's a great name.
It is.
It's going to look good on a t-shirt. It's got a letter and a number.
He was right.
Right. It's
a great name.
It's totally. And it's iconic.
It's clever.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I suppose Bono is not immune to secondhand embarrassment. You know, when you hear your voice back and you're not really quite ready for it and it's a little cringe. He's just like us, that Bono, except he has hundreds of millions of dollars and he's a worldwide rock star.
He's looking through his tinted rose-colored glasses.
Literally.
I know, right? Right? Thanks, Holly.
You're welcome.
A duh.
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 This is the study of duh with noted academic journal skimmer, Lori.
Everybody knows.
Yeah, everyone knows that, duh.
Everybody knows. That's
everybody knows. It's a duh. It's a duh. It's a duh. Okay, so here's a couple of the headlines today about duh, okay? More than half of Americans say they have a business idea that they think would impress investors on Shark Tank.
Hmm.
Have you ever had an invention? You do soaps. I mean, soap. You did soap.
But
is there ever something that you think would make laundry so much easier that you're on the cusp of inventing or that you've wanted to invent or you saw a need?
Well, I have this idea for a mesh bag, but
right.
I would never take it to Shark Tank just because I wouldn't want their judgment. I'd just do it. And if it worked, it worked.
Right.
And if it didn't work, I'd just pretend it never happened.
There you go. Can I give you a couple of things? Mm-hmm. I'd like it so the zipper stays intact mm-hmm. and the bag doesn't rip when you wash it.
Right.
And the zipper stays shut.
Right.
Because okay. So you would never take it there because you don't want their judgment.
Right.
Well, apparently a survey of 2,000 adults studied everyone is shifting towards entrepreneurship. More than 59% of people have considered quitting their current jobs to launch their own business. And I think a lot of this is motivated by kind of how everyone is on their own right now and not working in the corporate headquarters so much. We are all here at Hubbard. I've loved that. But a lot of people are working remotely and things like that. And 3 in 5 Americans are ahead of the game. They all have a side hustle. So here's one of the big, big, big areas, and this will be no surprise to anybody, is that everyone wants their own podcast. When this started, we always have to remind people we podcast because we podcast daily and we have 3 hours on just this show and we've got 9 hours of fresh podcasting every day. And so I'd hear it from so-and-so. I remember being on a date with someone who was like, well, I want to talk to you about my idea for a podcast. And I remember one of my friend's kids, well, I want to talk to you about my idea for a podcast and someone else's kids, you know. And so I think that is something that everyone... And you've seen it. I mean, there's a gazillion podcasts out there. So it's the most popular type of business startup that people want to launch, beating out, selling, making a product. They believe that they are content.
Hmm.
Is that shocking to you at all?
It's not shocking to me. I'm just surprised it's podcast over YouTube, but.
Right, right. So podcasting and so, and maybe they didn't ask YouTube because they said, would you want to create a product, which you need money and you be backing. Mm-hmm. And for podcasting, you need a microphone and you need a way to launch it. And people just said are providing services. You know, a lot of people want to teach now mm-hmm. virtually and online and teach because people have all these different skill sets that they didn't think they were doing in their current job. So it's provided a ton of opportunity, too.
Sure.
For people who wanted to teach people how to play Wordle.
Right. Or, you know, laundry.
Or how to
I can't really.
How to do laundry.
Like, I can't really say anything.
I mean that you have a TV show.
Right.
You know, but that's, same thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's power in that. So that is something that people, it's a creator, it's a new era, and they're calling it creator economy.
Hmm.
So that's what we're in.
Well, that's, you know, I hope we don't have that when, you know, I need to go to the hospital. I hope at that point we've got some people in business school, right?
I want some skilled people to do that, but they're just saying it reveals an unprecedented demand in the market for online learning skill build. I mean, outside of just podcasting content, but podcasting to learn skills and things like that. So that's a big tooth. So here's another study of DAW, which I could have told you and I experience every day. Sweet Tooth Nation. The average person overindulges on 3 junk foods 3 nights a week.
Only 3 nights a week?
I know. Thank you. People say, I mean, I can't even make it past 2 in the afternoon without just one little bite.
Yeah, I mean, something.
I That's need something sweet. Mm-hmm. 10 in 6 people say they, when they just lose it, they just sacrifice taste over nutritional value 100%. It's just the go-to thing. Do you have a go-to snack?
I probably don't have one, but I mean, I don't have like, I've always got to have, you know, M&Ms or something, but it's funny. I always want something crunchy.
Right.
You know, like it might be M&Ms, it might be pretzels, it might be popcorn, but right. I want that.
You need the crunch.
Right.
Yeah. I like the crunch too. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of hung up on Snoofen waffles or whatever those things are called right now.
Snoop waffles.
What do you say? How do you
Snoop waffles.
Snoop waffles. Okay. So I at Christmas time bought all these Stroop waffle cans and I bought all these caramel things and I found the bag in the garage that I never gave its presidents.
Oh, good.
As presidents or presents. Mm-hmm. So last night, and I had them in the refrigerator. So not only is my Snoop waffle crunchy, it's extra crunchy.
Right.
So good.
Yeah, you know, Dunkin' Donuts right now has a Stroop waffle donut. And it's a donut with a little Stroop waffle in the middle. And yesterday, Martha Stewart did a video on how to make your own.
Stroop waffles.
Yeah.
Do you use just a waffle machine?
I didn't open it because I thought they're just too easy to buy.
It will 100%.
I mean, you know, it's kind of like...
It's like ice cream. I don't want to make my... Remember back in the day when we'd have those machines with the salt and you'd get all the salt and put it together? It,
you know, delicious.
For a bowl.
But, you know, so good when you could just go to, Trader Joe's. I mean, I didn't open that. I mean, if she'd showed like how to eat them... I'd be like, oh, is there a way? I don't know, but you know.
Right. Oh, do you have like, okay, I know I'm totally going off here. Okay, so I love that you said that about Dunkin' Donuts. So Lori's not an eater like I am. She doesn't have the sweet tooth like me. Do you have like other, do you like the Blizzards or ice cream?
I don't really love ice cream.
Oh, gosh.
I love like cake and that sort of thing. So like the idea of driving through Starbucks or something and being like, oh, what's in the bakery case?
Can you see it from the outside?
No,
though?
But it's on the screen. It'll show you what they still have available because that's all that shows up. So, you know, then I know like I can have a pumpkin loaf or coffee cake or something. Yeah.
Good.
Those are the things I.
That's your sweet spot. Well, people like sweets. And another thing yesterday was if you're trying to lose weight, you're supposed to count the calories you eat in appetizers when you sneak other people's food. I thought that was the funniest headline yesterday. If you're on a diet and you're counting calories, don't forget to count the things you borrow from other people. All right, here's another study of DAW. American politics are really, literally making people feel sick. This came out the end of last week, but it's giving people headaches. And this is from the University of Nebraska, Lincoln. It notes that 4 in 10 people cite politics as a top stressor in their lives. It helps makes them lose sleep, fractures their relationships. An alarming 1 in 20 say even discussing and thinking about it leaves them feeling just off. So don't. And it doesn't matter if you're Democrat or Republican. It just says people really are done. And this study started in 2017 and it's up to date. And this just came out yesterday. So basically it's not a good sign for democracy that everyone's lost interest. But people are done. And I think that's on top of pandemic and everything else that we have going on out there, don't you think?
Yeah. And everybody just thinking that, you know, thinking their creator and their content's the most important. It's everybody just thinking that they just get to say, you know, that my opinion's the most valuable. Remember when it used to be that you weren't supposed to discuss politics like at the table?
Ever.
Right.
Ever.
Right.
Let's go back to that.
And it was a good time.
I loved it.
You know?
I loved it. It was disrespectful. I love that. The average person completely wastes almost 2 hours a day going in through social media, being stuck on hold, waiting in lines. I don't know that this is so true anymore. I mean, because when's the last time you really waited in a line? That would require going somewhere.
Right. I mean, unless it was in the drive-thru, you know, right. trying to get my cake.
Okay, now that scares me. Those lines give me, like, I can't get them because you can't get out.
Yeah. Yeah, I hate that. Oh, those I hate. When the ones where they have the car.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Like Carver's Chicken or whatever, Cane's yeah. Chicken, and I see it, like, it goes over two stores, and I'm like, oh, God, I will hyperventilate if I get in that. All right, when we come back, we're going to find out what the second B in BYOB means. This is Lori and Julia on My Talk. Thanks for hanging out with us. I've just had so much fun today. Patrick Richardson's here. He has this delightful store at the Mall of America, Mona Williams. And you started, your passion for laundry has come through. You had a book out, Finding Love.
Right, Laundry Love, Finding Joy in a Common Chore.
Yes, and that's available for people, and which is such a delightful book of storytelling mixed with laundry tips. If you want to download the podcast from our first hour today or just listen from 6 to 7, we've covered a lot. Mm-hmm. And plus your Discovery Plus show. My girlfriend in Seattle, bestie of mine, Shannon, loves you.
Oh, that's sweet.
Loves you and just thinks your show is the bomb and just all your experiences because you add your joy of people and caretaking and taking care of laundry. It's the love language that you say. Right. I mean, and it really comes across. And if people want to go to your laundry camps, how do they do that?
They can actually just go to laundrycamp.com. I made it as easy as I could.
And they're free.
Sign up.
Right,
yeah, and they're free.
Yeah.
And you can do in person or Zoom.
Which is so awesome. Mm-hmm. So you're offering in person right now.
Yeah, we are.
Oh, doesn't that feel good to see people again?
It's amazing. I mean, we keep it pretty limited.
Yeah.
So that we can kind of space out, but it's nice to have people in front of us.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're talking about Audible books and what books. I just finished Katie Couric. I'm trying to get through Will Smith. I can't stand it. One of the ones I liked a lot was Green Lights with Matthew McConaughey. Mm-hmm. Really liked it, but you said what?
That I normally don't do audiobooks, but I did Olivia Newton-John's because I wanted to listen to her because I love her. She was my...
Was it Grease?
Was it Grease? Actually, I fell in love with her on Xanadu.
Oh, of course.
But
with Gene Kelly roller skating.
Right, I mean, Gene Kelly roller skating, disco.
That is such a wild...
What? It's just like that every idea ever... Put into a movie. They're like, we're gonna get the hottest singer on earth.
Right. The best dancer.
Right. And then we're gonna add roller skates and
that is
disco. Yeah.
You know what? I need to revisit Xanadu. If you could pull that up for us.
Right.
If you could pull it up, Rachel, that good old song. That good old song Xanadu, if you could find it. It's hysterical. Okay. But yeah.
But she was my first girl crush. Olivia Newton-John, and I to this
from
day
Xanadu.
Yeah,
and that's, I mean, after Grease.
That was after Grease. I discovered Grease because I loved Xanadu so much.
So gay.
Yeah, it is. So, I, you know what?
That is just so gay.
Cards
that
on the table.
I just have to say.
But I mean, the thing is, I have seen her. You know, we've talked about Ross, so
yep.
I've seen her probably more than I've seen anyone else.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, and every time I see her, like my knees buckle.
Isn't that fun?
To this day,
Isn't that fun? She's doing really, I mean, I thought she had, like, really bad cancer, right. And
she's doing well.
She's doing well.
I think there's an auction of her stuff going on right now.
Is there?
Yeah.
It felt like she did it a year ago. I mean, she does this, like, once a year or something.
Yeah, they're like charity things. And
yeah.
It's going on right now, and, I mean, the thing is, if I could figure out, I may have a Julian's auction spot delivered to your house. I just need Ross not to know.
Okay, you can, I'll hold it for you. Oh, that's hysterical, because she had the black leather jacket last year.
Right, in the pants.
And she is, she was in studio with her husband when they did the Akai, or I can't think of that berry.
Oh,
they had that berry drink. Mm-hmm. So this might be like 2010 or 11, maybe. And they were coming through town. And she's lovely. She is lovely.
It's funny. I've never met her.
Oh.
I had the opportunity once. I don't think I could.
Oh, that's
funny. I think it would be like, you remember when those girls would see the Beatles mm-hmm. and they would just faint? Mm-hmm. Or Elvis? Mm-hmm. I think I would do that. I think I would. I mean, I've never met anybody where I was just like, oh my God, I can't speak. But I think if I met Olivia Newton-John, I would just, you know. I mean, I felt that way the first time I met you.
Oh,
but,
stop.
But I got over it.
So you got over it quickly. Mm-hmm. No, that's funny because it's fun because there are some people out there that you're just like, I don't want to meet them. I just want to have that anonymity and just love, love, love them.
Right.
And she really is. And her daughter was such a trip.
Right.
I always want our daughter to be healthy.
Yeah, she seems to be good.
Is
I mean, she has
now?
A recording career going.
Oh, okay.
Kinda, I mean, she looks good.
She does.
Yeah, she seems to be good. And
remember when her husband went missing?
Yeah, that was it. Was her boyfriend?
It was her.
They weren't married. Yeah, he showed up like in Mexico. I think like.
And he faked his own death.
Right. I mean, she's had
now,
some.
Now tell me that you wouldn't have a problem with your self-esteem if you're dating someone and they have to fake their own death to get away from you.
Right. And you're a living in John.
I know.
I mean, the thing is, it's like, who should leave who here? It's like you.
That was a hard one.
Yeah. I mean, you go on a boat or something. And I mean, and your girlfriend is a living in John. You know,
that was a funny one. Yeah. I mean, and then he shows up
right.
like 2 years later or right. something. And I mean,
yeah,
that was a weird.
Yeah,
was
I mean, just, she, you know, she's had some odd dating choices, but
she
you
has.
Know, but geez, I don't care. I just
I love the. I'm going to watch Xanadu again because
I mean, I even love Two of a Kind, which is actually worse than Xanadu.
I feel like I've seen that one.
Oh God, it's awful. It's so bad. It's so bad, and yet. That being said, if it was on like right now, I'd be like, pull it up. Let's go.
Gosh, there are some really bad movies out there that you just love.
I totally.
Oh, gosh. Oh, my gosh. All right. So other things. OK, I was going to tell you. So this was in Off the Machine today and it said the second B in BYOB doesn't stand for beer everywhere. A poll in the UK asked what the second B stands for. What do you think they say? Bring your own. What do you think it stands for?
I would have assumed booze, but...
Or bottle.
Yeah.
Bottle. Only 5% beer. So when people say BYOB, you think booze or bottle, right?
Yeah.
All right. Then that was dumb. Jerry Seinfeld made at least $30,000 for every line he had on Seinfeld based on his salary and the show's syndication deals. Every line.
Wow.
Nice to see you today.
Right.
How are you, King? That's a lot of jing. And then there was some thing that every 69 seconds a billionaire is made or something. Did you see that other horrible headline?
No, but that's...
I don't know.
Kind of irritating to me. I mean...
Right?
It's just, I wouldn't mind, like, if you threw the money back into the pot, you know, but you just take it, like...
Just a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and so instead you just decide to get your own rocket or something. It just...
And shape it like a penis.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, why do you... I mean, you know, could you, like, I don't know, save the rainforest or something? I mean... Because, you know, like, I mean, it's been said that Dolly Parton would have been a billionaire if she hadn't given so much money away. Now, which do I respect more?
Exactly.
You know?
Well, she can do no wrong.
Absolutely nothing.
She's like, how many times have you seen her?
Two or three.
Only one for me.
Oh, she's...
She's everything.
She really is just... Mm-hmm. She is like... It's funny because we're talking about Betty White. And mm-hmm. you kind of look at both of them and you're like, you know, at the end of your life, you're like, yeah, that's what I want.
Oh.
I mean, I think the perfect thing ever, you know, I think I want people to be like, you know what? I wish he would have lived another 10 years because he was so great. And that's how I feel about Dolly Parton. I mean, if she dies, like, I mean, I'm just going to like,
soon.
I'm just going to drape the mirrors. I mean, mm-hmm. I can't even think about it, but she's you know, because she's such a, she's a wonderful human being. I mean, to be like, I'm going to start a charity to give kids books, you know, I mean, come on.
Unbelievable.
She's amazing.
Well, and I think the other thing that she embraces is life.
Yeah.
And a positive spirit. And I think there's so many ways we can go negative and all that kind of stuff, but she just is happy.
Right.
And that's the people that just give you the energy to feed off of. And I've just had so much fun with you today.
This has been so much fun. I hope I get to come back.
I hope. Well, we've set you up. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. And Rachel, thanks for helping out over there.
Yeah, I enjoyed every second of
it. Yes. And tomorrow we've got Grant and Brittany hanging out for the day. We'll see what trouble that girl's into and what he's been up to. Everyone have a great night. Thanks for hanging out with us. We'll be back tomorrow.
Job done. Off you go.